New Yorker coming in Amchi Mumbai, what was that transition like? I've never seen a singer with a muscular body, to be honest. This is first time. There's something, some similarities between Punjabis and Keralites. We have it in Gulf and you have it in mostly Americas and Europe, I think. I've seen you very vocal in your Instagram about Gaza.
I had my Instagram banned for about 7.5 weeks. If I see a man abusing his woman, I'll probably be one of those guys who will step in. You can probably see my hands. I was a boxer for many years. I can't sleep at night. And seeing what I've been seeing in Gaza, it's really awakened me in many ways. And not only that, my awakening happened post 9/11 because I was there, lost my girlfriend in the World Trade Center. I know all the propaganda that was being fed inside me. When I moved away from America and I came to India, and when I started to see the other perspective.
I think religion doesn't teach us to fight with each other.
If you're a good human being, I don't care if your name ends in Khan or in Khanna. I mean, I have a Guru Nanak tattoo here. I have a Hanumanji tattooed here. Although I know in Islam, tattoos are kind of a no-no. I'll have to work that out with the mighty one above.
I have never, probably would, interview a musician.
Just last night, I got a message in a DM, apparently an IDF soldier. It was all hate-filled, all that he'll cut me up into pieces. Being an American, I've heard this a lot. Get out of our country. I'm like, you know what? You know who owns this country? American Indians. You know whose skin color matches them? Mine. Pahalgam. Whatever's happened there with people getting, I don't want to see innocent people. My manager gave me a yelling. Why are you doing music? Agar tumko ye karna hai? Every drop will matter.
I'll always say this. Good people are silent.
There's a very blanket mentality. Oh, Islam, terror, terror, terror.
Why Indians, when they protest against Muslims, they use Israeli flag?
I'm not going to judge a person because he does namaz 5 times or he says Jai Shri Ram, Vaheguru or Jesus Christ. I don't care about that.
So we had just had lip service. On the accents, it went blank.
I had so much inside me, I had to get it out.
So today I have someone very special with me on podcast, Amit Tandon. I've been seeing him since years long back when the Indian Idol just started, in the season 1, I guess. He was finalist of Indian Idol. I and my mom would watch those series, and I actually backed for you. You didn't know, but I backed for you that time to win. I was a huge fan. And then also I went... I came to Mumbai and I made sure that I joined a gym to just see you and some of the other actors. And I have also walked in treadmill with you, and you were doing incline and catching the back.
Yeah, which is, looking back, it's not a good thing to hold the machine. So yeah, now you've got it. I do it now without holding the machine. But at that time, I guess I used to get really tired working out. So eventually I'm like, at least I get the feeling like I'm doing something on incline. So, pakad ke karta tha. But yeah, not...
So you see, I'm not bluffing you, right?
yeah, you're right.
I don't know why it stayed with me, you know?
Well, it's a good way to end a workout. It's not about... I still end my workouts like that. But I know in the past I've done the incline just by holding it. And it's not as effective because you're taking the stress off of the lower body.
The whole body is not moving. But
exactly.
Thank you so much for joining in. And you have started with Indian Idol and then gone into acting in a couple of series, I guess. And now you have Amit Tandon Music, your own production, and you are hitting out all albums and things like that. And you're not only someone who is there as a celebrity. I have seen you, unlike others, you are very vocal about situations around the world and inside. So,
yes.
Before all that, I would like to start from the beginning. How did the Indian Idol shape your professional journey?
See, with me, Indian Idol was a good opportunity, a good stepping stone into the industry for me because I was born and raised in the United States, in New York. And for me, coming to India itself was a journey, and I would say my struggle to just adjust to the country of India. Although I'm very desi by heart, but still I was very used to that American lifestyle, and okay, very used to just living that way. So the struggle for me was to adjust. One, being away from family, because my whole family was in America, and at the same time, adjusting to just Indian life, which I'm sure if you've been here, you understand it's a different experience altogether.
I did when I was NRI, and then I had to come there for high school. The transition actually kicked me. It wasn't easy. What age were you when you came in?
I was 24. India. I was 24.
Okay.
Yeah. So perfect. So it's been
very much of New Yorker coming in Amchi Mumbai. What was that transition like?
Very, very difficult because I had a very, very strong accent, which I still do have remnants
of
it now.
You still have. I mean, yeah, I think it didn't still change much, I think.
Yeah. But the difference now versus then is now I can tone it to where it's that Mumbai English accent. Back then, I couldn't. I was just very in your face. But now I have the ability to talk a little bit with that type of, which you get right now, that little bit of...
Perfect, yeah.
You know, yeah. So...
I mean, it happens according to the environment, right?
Of course.
Like, whoever...
Because what happens is people don't really understand, you know. That was a difficulty. I had a lot of people... jab Hindi mein baat karta tha, they would understand. But the moment I would switch to English, they'd be like, whoa.
Where are you from, bro?
Yes.
Why do you have a thick accent?
Yeah. And why to aisa, you know, why are you making up this accent thinking I'm a Bandra boy or an Andheri boy? But eventually when I got into the industry, people realized, listen, he's not from here. He's from there. And then things happened. But yes, Indian Idol was a great experience. I cannot deny that. It was a great opportunity to come in front of millions of people right away at, you know, one of my first opportunities, although I was a VJ with a music channel before that. But I would say definitely that put me into the spotlight, right in front of everyone. And since then, it's been a very interesting journey.
How was it from then to, like, did you immediately get offers on series or movies, whatever?
Yes.
Or did it take a lot of time?
No, well... So prior to Indian Idol, but before I became a VJ, I went through a few months of just going to different places and trying to, you know, first of all, just adjust to the life, but then trying to see how things work. I was very muscular then, a lot more than I am.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember, yeah.
Yeah, a lot more than I am now. And I remember that people used to say, what are you here to do? Because it's body ke saath, you're not going to be able to become an actor. You're too, like...
I've never seen a singer with a muscular body, to be honest. This is first time.
First time, yeah. So, well, now I'm happy to break that mold because I feel like, being a performer, an actor, a singer, you should be in, fitness conscious. And I don't think that has anything to do with your vocals. Although today my vocals seem to have taken a punch. Yeah, but overall, I think it's good. And it takes a lot of stamina to be a singer. You know, sometimes I end up performing for 2-3 hours continuously on stage, you know, singing back to back hundreds of songs. It takes a toll on you, but it's an amazing experience. It's something that's very indescribable to perform live in front of an audience. It's something that I absolutely love. I love doing that.
What was this point of life that you felt like, khalas, yani? Was there any time like, you know, I'm done with this music here. I have to do something else. Did you think about this or you just kept continuing the same path?
I am in Hindi, we call it a dheet, meaning I am just one of those guys who does not stop and I don't give up. If somebody says, don't do this, I'm going to say, I'll show you. And I think that's the way I took music because I wasn't ever formally trained. During Indian Idol, I had no formal training. And once it ended, that is actually when my journey of music began. But the only difficulty for me then was I was continuously acting, doing television, back-to-back shows. But I took it as an inner challenge that I'm going to keep doing music, keep working on music, keep developing myself as an artist. And that's why today, you know, I'm doing shows, releasing songs and just kind of at it.
Are you still acting by any chance or is it just music?
Currently I'm not doing any project in acting, but I'm definitely going to be acting soon. I'll probably be doing something digitally very soon as well. But yes, I'm once an actor, always an actor. Right now, though, I'm acting more in my music videos. But yes, I'll be doing something on the digital space very soon.
Tell me, not too many details, of course. I mean, tell me some, like, when did you get married? When, like, did you have your family life starting from New York or when you came in Mumbai?
So for me, no, I came to Mumbai, a single Punjabi boy with dreams in his eyes and wanted to experience life. And I got married in 2007 with nice. my beautiful wife, Dr. Ruby. And we had a beautiful, beautiful daughter named Gianna in 2010. And that's my family here in India. The rest of my family is still, as I said, brothers, sisters, cousins, everybody's spread across the world, but mostly in the United States, some in London, some in Canada.
I mean, I think there's something similar, some similarities between Punjabis and Keralites. Like we have our families spread across, like we have it in Gulf and you have it in mostly Americas and Europe, I think.
Yes, yes, yes. Spread across. Yeah? Yes, for sure. For sure. I think, I mean, it's lovely having your family there. Obviously, you miss them, but it makes those moments when you come back together really more special. I usually try to aim at least once or twice in the year to make a trip there and see them. I'm going in July. We're going to be going to London and to Greece. So the whole family from everywhere are going to come together for like a family vacation. We make sure we do that at least once a year. And other than that, I usually go to the States whenever I get a chance to.
Before I jump into next question, I don't know, this question is a bachcho wala sawal hai actually. You know, when I knew you, like Amit Tandon, we knew only Raveena Tandon that time, you know. Are you related by any chance?
I'm not, but I tried to use that line with some people that when I say Amit Tandon, Raveena Tandon, meri cousin hai. I'm related to her. But the weird thing is I met her in Singapore a few years back, and we were taking a picture together, and I told her, I said, you're Raveena Tandon, I'm Amit Tandon, so I want to apologize. I've used you as like a family contact, but because she's pretty in person and all that, so I was like, but I'm not trying to make you my sister or anything like that. So I just, you know, I said we're related. So, but she laughed about it. She was very, very a good sport, and it was nice.
I've seen you very vocal in your Instagram about current situations, especially about Gaza, and whatever it is, like you don't even hesitate. Like I hesitate because I am growing, right? And I do put things, but you know, often the words, the algorithm does push you down. As an artist by yourself, I mean, definitely you run with contracts and you need managers, you need a couple of other projects to move on. I mean, didn't anyone advise you or reach you saying, hey, you know, this could risk your career?
Many, many times, not only managers, but family as well were constantly telling me. In fact, I don't know if you know about this, but I had my Instagram banned for about seven and a half weeks. My account was banned, and it was a permanent ban at that time. Very difficult because I had literally a song that was ready for release and I had to delay it. And it, you know, just made life really, really difficult because we've become so accustomed to social media. That all of a sudden to have that happen. And I was warned all the time that you're pushing limits, you're going beyond, you shouldn't be saying this, shouldn't be saying that. But I am one of those types of people that I say what I believe, and I'm okay with the brickbats, but I'm not okay with kind of not speaking my truth, because I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I wasn't honest to myself, you know, and especially if I'm seeing something that I believe to be wrong, cruel, evil, whatever you want to say, inhumane is probably a better word I would use, then I have to speak up. You know, I'm the same type of guy. I'm the guy who, if I see a man abusing his woman or somebody hitting somebody else in the middle of the street, and if it's like 4-on-1, I'll probably be one of those guys who will step in and, you know, take things apart. You can probably see my hands. I was a boxer for many years. So so I can handle myself. But yes, maturity tells me to avoid those situations at best. But some habits die hard. And I think that's one of my things is I just don't like seeing injustice. I don't like seeing... not even don't like, it just doesn't sit with me. I can't sleep at night. And seeing what I've been seeing in Gaza, it's really awakened me in many ways. And not only that, I think for me, my awakening happened post 9/11, because I was there, lost my girlfriend in the World Trade Center. And that was my first tryst, if you want to say, with, losing somebody in my life, and that too, you know, someone I loved. And seeing death from that close was a life-changing experience. And I know what was going on inside me. I know all the propaganda that was being fed inside me, you know, and being a US citizen. But when I moved away from America and I came to India, and when I started to see the other perspective, because from I always saw the American perspective, which is we're the best. Everybody's jealous of us. They hate our freedom and blah, 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 BS bullshit, which I today understand. But at that time, I was like, I mean, I won't lie to you. Once she had passed away, I immediately signed up for the army and I wanted to take revenge. I was like, I'm going to go and kill whatever, 20 or 30 or 40 before I go or whatever. You know, you start thinking like Rambo. You start thinking like Rambo at that time.
Yeah, I understand.
But I'm actually thankful to my parents. They talked me out of it. You know, the typical Indian family, Punjabi family crying and saying that you can't do this. But it was a life-changing experience. And I know all of the propaganda that was fed to me at that time. And then when I moved away and I understood what the reality of the US is, it changed my perspective a lot. And now seeing Gaza, you know, I wouldn't say up close and personal because obviously I'm not there. And I could never think about or even imagine what they've gone through. But seeing it daily on your stories, interacting with a lot of people from Gaza, it's actually changed my life. I feel like I don't look at the world the same way anymore. I just don't. And I think that's very normal to happen to human beings, you know. I mean, I'm a Hindu Punjabi. If you probably see close, I have a tattoo on my arm that has Om, Allah, Ikunkar. I just believe in the good of human beings. I'm not a hardcore Hindu or a hardcore. I mean, I love Sikhism.
I think it's fine to be hardcore Hindu or hardcore Muslim. And I think religion doesn't teach us to fight with each other.
It doesn't. Actually, anybody who really follows their religion, they would never believe. It's against all religions to kill innocents, to attack innocents, to lie, to cheat, to steal, all of those things. The perversion of religion is not due to the book or the teaching. It's to the perception and it's to the people that are trying to manipulate it. And that's present in all religions, whether it's Christianity or Hinduism or Islam or Sikhism. You can see remnants of that all over the place. So for me, I judge people on a human basis. If you're a good human being, I don't care if your name ends in Khan or in Khanna. I'm going to treat you with the same level of respect and love. And I don't know if you know this, but my wife is a revert. She's a Sikh Punjabi, a Jat Sardarni. So very hardcore level of Sardars. But, you know, she has also reverted and she's a proper follower of Islam, and she's opened my eyes as well a lot about it. But
this is new.
Yeah, you're probably one of the first
When you used the word revert, I thought maybe you're saying it your religion because we call it revert. And you, now you're
I had no idea what a revert. I never knew what a revert was. But what she tells me is everybody is a believer, born as a Muslim, but. So because she reverted from another religion back to her original self, that's what she believes. I respect that. I personally don't follow it, but that doesn't mean that I don't respect it. I respect it. And at the same time, I kept Ramzan with her. I do my kalmas here and there, but I'll also do my Hanuman Chalisa. I'd probably say, you know, while lifting weights, I'll do a Jesus help me out or something, you know. Ikunkar is always it's in my blood. I mean, I have a Guru Nanak tattoo here. I have a Hanumanji tattooed here. Although I know in Islam, tattoos are kind of a no-no, but
we don't.
I'll have to work that out with the mighty one above. I'm pretty sure he'll look past the tattoos and see my insaniyat and judge me on that. But
that's the beauty of it, right? I mean, we are not here because you believe in the same thing as I do. I mean, to be honest, I have never and never probably would interview a musician. I'm not into music. Right. I was like, when I used to follow Indian Idol, like all that, that was genuinely I was selling, but not now. But, you know, despite the differences, despite the difference in your profession and my profession, that's what India is about, right?
I believe there is one energy level of humanity that runs in all of us. We all believe in being loving to our parents. We all believe in being loving to one another. Yes, if somebody does you wrong, maybe the teaching is that you should not do anything bad onto them. But fine, it's human. We're human. That's why we're not God, right? We make mistakes and we sometimes take revenge. But you have to have humanity as your basis. And that's what I try to do. I try to keep my humanity as my core. And I let all decisions, you know, in life kind of run around from, you know, go around that. If I kept everything only on the basis of I'm a Hindu, because I have friends that are like that. I won't even lie to you. That are very hardcore Hindu. And they message me as well that, you know, how can you be doing this? How can you talk like this? Tum to aise ban gaye ho, tum to Khan ban gaye ho, tum ye ban gaye ho. I'm like, pehli baat to agar main Khan ban bhi gaya, I mean, technically in our industry, it's probably better to be a Khan than anybody else. So from the industry I'm in, it's probably a good thing. But it's like, why do I have to be judged on that? Because it's not that I'm against Hindu people. I love my Hindu people. I was raised in that. But I'm against extremism. I'm against hatred. That is, to me, bigger than Hinduism, bigger than Islam. It's about humanity. And I want to follow that. That's my path in life that I want to live. And so you're right. I face a lot of negativity. It has affected work. It has slowed the algorithm that we all cherish on social media.
I'm sure your stories are like slashed into 15% of the views.
In fact, the weird thing, it's funny you're talking, saying that just last night I got a message in a DM from apparently an IDF soldier. It was all hate filled, all that he'll cut me up into pieces and feed me to the cows and blah, 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 blah.
Like typical IDF.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, I'm not a little kid or a woman in Gaza. So wherever you feel itchy, you come and see me. I'm pretty easy to find.
They come one-on-one. They don't come one-on-one. Though.
They would never come. Well, if they came one-on-one, I would teach them a lesson for life. And I think his name was, I don't remember what his name was. I would love to say
it. No, we don't want to make him famous anyway.
Yeah, but...
until we need to... If he's around, then yeah.
Yeah, but my IDF little comrade, you have to taste a Punjabi mukka to understand what life is like. And I'll be more than happy to issue that. Because he was mentioning, you know, they get so sick. They start speaking about what they did to kids and to this and that. And for a second, I think, are they just lying to me? But then you hear all the stories and it all fits. It's like, you can see that they have been indoctrinated with hatred. And the crazy thing is, that is what the world accuses Islam of. That, oh, they're taught to hate. No, they're not taught to hate. Are there extremists in Islam? Of course, I know, 100%. But are there not extremists in our religion? Are there not extremists in every religion? There are. So you have to take the good with the good and deal with the bad. But the problem that I see with that place, I on my social media call it Israel, because I don't believe
like normally, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't believe that, first of all, that's not even their land. It's so crazy to me, this whole idea of that a place that they lived thousands of years ago, they're laying claim. So that way, and I say this to a lot of Americans, because being an American, I've heard this a lot. They say, get out of our country. I'm like, you know what? You know who owns this country? American Indians. You know whose skin color matches them? Mine. So you get out of my country. Yeah, so all of these you know, people who get at, you know, the typical get out of my country and all that nonsense, my first answer to them is always, you know, it's this skin color that was here before you, so you can leave. But, you know, it's kind of like just beating your head, because these, with people like that, I always think I'm going to get through to them, and it doesn't. It just goes, it dwells into, even if they know they're wrong, they are just programmed to hate, programmed to think that way. And I believe it all stems from insecurity. I believe, like, I dealt with a lot of bullying when I was younger. I was the only Indian kid in a school of white kids. So that is what got me into lifting weights and boxing and all that, because I used to get beat up every day all jokes aside, I was a skinny Indian kid who got beat up almost every day. Every day I'd
high
come
five,
home.
Even me too.
Yeah, so it happens. So, but I think, you know what it does? It makes us stronger. It leaves scars.
Yes, exactly.
It does leave scars.
It's kind
scars.
Of a military training which you've got.
Yes. But it also makes you very on edge at times because you've dealt with that. I think, and I try to give that advice to kids who are living there or who've dealt with bullying, because that's one of my big pet peeves. If I see bullying, which I feel like that's what's happening even with Gaza and Palestine, either you're just bullying the weak. Why don't you try and go do that without your big brother America? Go try and do that to Iran or Turkey or places like that. You wouldn't even think about it. Because that's why you want your big brother to come and help you out. And your big brother doesn't have a great track record, even as a bully, because whether it's Vietnam or Iraq, those little people in Vietnam, they took them for a ride, you know. And so I think also I'm going in a lot of directions because you've opened up.
Yeah, I know. I want to catch you somewhere, but then you are going somewhere else.
I know. So that is my VJ days.
No, that's okay. I want your reflections.
You can rein me back into a certain topic.
No, otherwise, I'm scared of your punches. And
no, not at all. You're a buddy.
You know,
so,
you talked about that. You know how IDF reached you on the messages, and you know how they explained. They proudly explained that I have done this to a baby, and we have seen that on many live streams and recordings. You know, they are openly saying that. Like,
yeah.
They're not lying. They're not, the one thing, they're not hypocrites. They're straight to face that what they're doing, but yet world turns a blind eye on it. But I'm sure you have seen a video circulating yesterday and day before yesterday. They did a gender reveal by bombing a building. Okay. So it was blue. Like, they made a blue thing come out of it. A gender reveal. Have you seen that video?
I have not. And it wouldn't
so
surprise
imagine,
me.
Oh. Yeah. That's just yesterday, and subhanallah, like it's not one thing, right? Like it's now 1 year plus since this has happened, or probably we are
months,
almost on the second year.
18 months. October of 23. Yeah, so it's up there.
And every week something or the other surprises us, because the way they do it. Every day, every image doesn't look like an old image. Yeah, it has been happening. It is always new, like the bodies flying over 50 and 30 meters.
Oh my God, that was unbelievable.
They get sliced in and thrown into other buildings. Like, I'm sure you have seen, you have shared all those videos. I just want to ask one question. Is that only you see as a celebrity, or other celebrities don't see that? Probably their algorithm only shows only the movies. Oh, are they seeing it? Are they being silent on it? Or do you think... they don't see it. They're very innocent. But like, since 2 years, they didn't see such a thing.
No, I think if they would be lying. The same way a lot of celebrities say that I don't read my DMs and I don't do this. They're all liars, at least a majority of them, because everybody does. We all do. Yes, we may not be able to read all of them because, you know, and especially when you're some of the more massive stars, they must be getting thousands of them a day. But everybody reads them. And at the same time, I'm sure they've seen these images. It's impossible. If you're living on this planet and you're breathing, you've seen images of it. And that is something that really bothers me. In fact, I've lost a lot of respect for a lot of these artists because they're silent on it. And are they silent out of fear? Are they silent? I'm assuming it's out of fear, because I don't think they're inhumane. I don't think that they're watching this saying, oh, I'm sure that little baby must have done something wrong to get blown up into pieces. So, you know, it's... But I feel like silence is complicity. I've always said that in my life. Silence is complicity.
As if you're agreeing to it.
Even if you're not agreeing to it, but if you're not saying anything against it, you're allowing it to happen by being silent, you know? And I won't equate it with the people that are doing it. Obviously, they are the evil of the highest level of evil. But to me, how do you sleep at night? How do you look at yourself in the mirror knowing that you're... I'll give you... I mean, not only Gaza, Pahelgam, whatever's happened there with people getting killed. Now, I don't know the intricate details about it, but...
Yeah, we don't know as well. Yeah,
but at the same time, again, I don't want to see innocent people die. I was here for 26/11. I was there for 9/11. You know, seeing innocent people just gunned down You cannot, if you have a conscience, you cannot accept that. And the amount of excuses that people in the world, see, the thing is, the reality is they've run out of excuses. The majority of humanity knows that Israel is an occupation, a genocidal occupational devil, pretty much. Their policies and whatever they've done are completely genocidal, and they are committing war crime after war crime. I think the majority of the world knows that. You can't BS them to believe something else.
Recently, they also said that we are not worried about the word occupation. We are okay and we are going to occupy.
It's like, it's like a small child. If a small child knows that I have no punishment for what I'm doing, there are no consequences for my actions, I'll keep doing it. They have lived a life. They've bombed American ships. They bombed an American ship in, I believe, 1984. They killed 40 American soldiers. A lot of the public doesn't know about this because it was hidden from them, but things are opening. There's people that say they had a lot to do with Kennedy being killed because John F. Kennedy wanted them to be registered, that AIPAC, which is they wanted him to get registered. They are the only country in America, or the only group in America, that don't have to register. So you don't know who's getting their money. You have no idea. You can't find out. It's a secret. They were recently trying to pass a law where they said, if you don't do business with Israel, America will put you to jail and fine you. Like, that's why I say now, it's the United States of Israel. I mean, people say that they had a lot to do with 9/11 happening so that America would go to war with Iraq and blah, blah, blah. I mean, how did that work out? Now they want them to go fight Iran, that is 10 times more powerful than Iraq ever was. And at the same time, has China and Russia as, backers or supporters. So it's like, in Hindi, we have this thing, kutte ki poonch jo hai, wo kabhi seedhi nahi hoti. Wo waise hi hai. Wo kutte ki poonch hai. Actually, kutte ki paati hai, but agar waisa dekha jaye, to wo hai. So yes, I am... Oh man, I'm talking about it and I'm getting angry. Imagine.
I can see that. I can, because you have been following up, like your political knowledge looks like
good. I'm at it. I want to keep myself informed, and I know that, you know, and although I know they want to live in peace, but it's like this. I don't know how to put it this way, but if you see, it's everybody gets feels that pain a lot more when it's happening to people that look a lot like them. Like India erupted when they see, oh my God, hamare log, because they look like us. To me, it's like, why don't Muslims who wear hijab and who can associate, I mean, but I don't associate that way, but I'm just saying, when those other countries see that, unka khun nahi kholta, they don't, their blood doesn't boil to be like, I want to take revenge or protect these people. So I just feel like that is something that I wish would have happened. You know,
even
that,
Muslims are like, you know, it's not just celebrities, which you said, like even Muslims, like even among, I would openly say, even among our friends, like they are scared.
They're scared.
Like, they're scared about their platform. They're scared about their career. They're scared. Yeah. Fear plays a very big role. Like, but if a classic example, like, you know, I was such a fan after you basically blowing up on your Instagram with the images. You didn't even care. Like, even your, I saw that one of your song was getting released and still you have put this up and things like that.
Like,
you would have actually stopped so that that could pick up.
My manager gave me a yelling. She was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing music agar tumko ye karna hai? I'm like, music mera passion hai. Obviously, mera career ka hissa hai. But ye main agar maine isko skip kar liya, ye maine agar ye message do logon tak, ya if it doesn't reach even one or two people that I wanted to reach and to make a change in their mentality, then shame on me. You know, I'm obviously not going to be able to change a lot of people, but I always feel like, you know, out of the thousands that may see the story or the post, if 1% of them or one person even changes their thinking, I want that to happen, because I want the reality to be seen. You know, it's inhumane. It's just, you know, what's happening is the level of inhumanity that's happening over there is growing, and it's like Israel does some, sorry, not, I don't want to name them. Israel is doing one thing, and then the next moment they'll do something else to go even worse. Like now they're blocking all food that goes into Gaza. It's been what, like almost 55 days, 56 days.
The famine is insane level. Like I've seen the images where some food trucks or water truck, even the babies and kids, we all have children, right? Oh. You know, when I see those children, I remember my children. And when I see my children having food, I remember this. Like there is no way, like you said, no, how can you sleep at night? Like how can you even eat a tummy full when you see
It's heartbreaking.
Images? Like that's not acting, or that's not like a scene from a movie or something.
It's humanity. Again, I'm telling you, I think as a parent, when my daughter, although she's a teenager now, but when my daughter says, I want this, even if I'll begrudge it, no, but I will flip the world upside down to make sure she gets what she wants. That's my love for her. And although I might be spoiling her, people will say this, but I want to give her all the happiness that, you know, because I was also relatively spoiled in my life with my parents. They gave, you know, that love that a parent has. And sometimes they just want to give you and they want to see that happiness.
That's a natural thing, yeah.
Imagine those parents in Gaza who the child is saying, I'm hungry, and they can't even give them a piece of bread. I think I would die 1,000 deaths that very moment.
Now imagine those holding their children against the missile, which is bombing their, you know, as a father, what you said, I want to give, not just take care. I want to give, make them happy. Now here they are holding their children, and children comes out of rubble with the hand. Some of them didn't make it. Some of them we see it. I'm sure very minute of them we have seen it. Like Israel didn't even leave babies. Like they have shot directly even Hind Rajab. We have put up the story. 355 bullets. We have heard that voice.
Oh my God.
How can one person, even if, I'm sure they have families. I'm sure they have children. Like to have that heart? No, I don't think so. It's heart. It's something else. I don't fathom it. Like
I see these Palestinian children. I mean, and I'm saying this to your audience today, I know it's not possible as of right now because they don't allow it. I am saying this openly with your platform. I will gladly adopt two children, brothers and sisters or whatever, from Gaza and treat them and give them the life that, I mean, as best as I can, equal to my daughter. And my wife, being a revert, will raise them to, you know, practice their religion. And inshallah, as the word is, I would love to take them to Gaza one day, if that is so possible. Although I don't know if I would take a detour and go to Israel and knock some of them out myself, but I'm sure I wouldn't come out alive, probably.
We need you, Amit. We need you, Amit. We don't want you to lose to them.
I say this openly,
people like you to really be there, voice out, like, you know, the thing which you said about two orphans, it's a huge thing. It's a huge thing in religion, it's a huge thing in humanity. Like you being not even a Muslim, like it's also a lesson for Muslims. You're basically also teaching Muslims, like your role. I know that you stand for humanity, but still, you know, you also said that why their own people around, like, be it religion, be it geographical, why are you not there even voicing out? Like Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, if you can do something, do with your hand. If you cannot do with your hand, you know, do by saying, or, you know, like, I mean, the worst thing is to basically say and do something about it. Like, say, like, just speak out.
Speak out, exactly. And I don't see that. I don't see the bravery. And I don't want to call any particular nation out, being that I do at some point may have to perform. But overall, I'm going to say that
let's leave the government, like everyone, out of it. I mean, individually, people, I mean, we have to take them also accountable, right? After us, you know, we have to see them. We have to have each one of us, like, standing for humanity, right? Like, no matter, this cannot happen. Miss Rachel is a big example. Miss Rachel having that huge following, if you know her, she didn't post once, she didn't post twice, she kept posting, though she got hate left, right, and center, she kept on going. And I think she also donated $1 million of her wealth.
Yes. A lot of people that come to mind that I can think of that have done it, but the silent ones are way outnumber the ones who have spoken up, and that is my issue. My biggest thing is that I feel like people in general, the citizens overall, if you see the amount of protests, I believe even in the Middle Eastern countries, a lot of people must be protesting it. But
yeah,
it's the, see, the power is in the government at the end of the day. And if, and we can only push to a certain limit. I know we believe we have the power, but at the end of the day, we do have the power, but we have the power when only when it's overwhelmingly, it has to become like a...
decisive, like a decisive action again.
Yeah, yes. And I think it's happening, but it's just not strong enough to break that system. It is happening, though. I am telling you, like, I'm seeing that turn. I'm seeing that, you know, it, like the wheels of change are in motion. And although even, and it's weird for me to say this, but in the back of my mind, I know what's happening right today in Israel right now. There's a lot of fires and this. Maybe upar wale ki hi marzi hai. It might be something from the one above. And although I do pray that the innocent and the good souls that are there, because there are good souls everywhere. It may seem very difficult to understand that maybe not in that place. There might be less, but there are also good souls there. I do see a lot of Jews who speak up against this. You know, a lot of people.
Yes, of course. They were trashed a day before yesterday in Israel itself. Like yeah, those who spoke against this war crimes, they were dragged and arrested.
So to me, this Bibi Netanyahu is a war criminal. He deserves to be hung at The Hague. Aapne kabhi ye notice kiya hai? Because I was a student of history. I was a pre-law student when I was in the US. And I remember whenever we would talk about World War II, what was the one thing that was always mentioned more than anything? It was the 6 million Jews that died. And I'm not underwhelming that. I took a Holocaust class. I saw the images. I saw what was happening. But do we not realize how many, like, I don't know what they say the number was. Was it 40 or 50 million people that passed away in World War II? They're never really mentioned. Yeah,
because they are God's chosen people, right? They need to be mentioned. The narrative needs to be
27 correct. Or 25 million. I could be, my run numbers could be wrong, but I think above 20 million Russians were killed. The true saviors of the world were not the United States. It was Russia. Russia bled to stop whatever was happening, you know, and the U.S. just came in the end like they do because they are very cunning. And I'm saying this openly. I'll find out the consequences, I guess, when I fly back and see how strong my U.S. passport is then. But that's what they do. I was going to tell you that the only country to ever utilize a nuclear bomb is the U.S. And they want to stop other countries. So, like, look at the hypocrisy of that. Wo banate ja rahe hain, wo aur banate ja rahe hain, and they have the audacity to tell other countries, oh, you cannot have it. You're not a responsible country. You cannot have it.
And we can have bases around you, but, you know, nothing around us, nothing against
exactly.
us.
Exactly. So hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy, and they're equally at fault as Israel, because end of the day, they are the suppliers. They are probably they're the backers, and to me, there's no forgiveness. There's no forgiveness for that.
I know, like, interesting which you mentioned that, you know, things are also changing, though you see that silence is there. Things are also changing. Like, you know, we see that countries are less reluctant to, I mean, US dominance is there always, like, and but slowly that's going, right? I mean, now India came up with, what's that, UPI system, you know, and financially, people are trying to become independent.
BRICS.
Like,
BRICS. I mean, China, Brazil, Russia, India. I know there's some Middle Eastern countries also getting involved, Saudi Arabia and all. If they all get in, that's eventually what should be happening. The U.S. needs to lose its influence, and it needs to be cornered the same way Israel needs to be cornered. Because although in the U.S., I think a majority of people are understanding what's going on, but the thing is, they're just not told. Frankly, they're just not told. Like, the majority of news, because when I put things, a lot of my friends from the USA, we don't get any of this information. What you're sharing.
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah. We don't get this news. We don't get that this was done. It's always sugar-coated. It's always, ooh, Israel blew up this building because there was terrorists inside. And yes, some innocent people may have died.
I've seen something similar like in Delhi.
It's always like, you know, saying that, oh, they had no other choice. Like this whole thing of human shields, all the BS in the world. First of all, how do you believe a country? They're not a country. How do you believe thieves who have lied every step of the way? All they've done this whole time is lie. I don't even believe a majority of people that were killed on the 7th weren't killed by them. And the truth is, a lot of them were killed by Israelis themselves, the IDF, you know, because they have that Hannibal doctrine, which kind of says that you don't want them to be captured because then it makes very difficult to negotiate, which they're going through now, right? But now that you think they care about their hostages, tell me something. I want to ask you a question just as a logical. I have kidnapped somebody that you love, you know, and I've kept them in a building. Now, you know that I have potentially in that building, your person's there. You're assuming, you could be wrong, but your assumption should be there because you know that I live there.
Okay.
What are you going to gain by bombing that building? Are you going to be able to get that hostage that you're so valuable about?
Of course, I won't do that. I would.
Think about, I mean, even in India, if there was two terrorists lined up in a school filled with children, and to kill those two terrorists, we bomb the whole school, I'd be the first one to become another terrorist, probably, of how they label it. Because the logic, it's like the stupid things that are just being said and being believed. You know, and the U.S. is equally part. I remember when Biden was like, oh, I saw the images of the 40 beheaded babies. I was like, ullu ke patthe, where the hell did
no
you
one
see?
Has that.
Yeah, there's no, yeah, there no is no such. That. See the images now. I can show you not 40. I'll show you maybe 4,000, you know.
They're very good in word plays. And with these word plays, media campaign goes very strong. And mainstream media has equal hand as the arms suppliers or the backers, you know, because if you have seen right now what in India, what happened, like, it's unfortunate thing. And, you know, we wouldn't like, we heard the news, like, you know, the two shooters came and said, you know, if you didn't say Kalima, then shoot. I mean, that thing doesn't exist in Islam. That such a thing doesn't exist in Hindu as well. Say Jai Sri Ram, otherwise I'll kill you. But, you know, people, I don't know, the extremists are extremists and they have no connection with the religion. So when this situation happened,
I understand what you're trying to say, that when that happened, what was the goal of that being done? It was to divide. They knew that is, you know, I know from martial arts, there's certain points, pressure points that, you know, if you get that point, I can incapacitate you. They know that India's pressure point is its division. We have the largest amounts of Muslims, I believe, or more Muslims in our country than in India.
Almost 200 million plus.
Yeah. And they want to break that connection between Hindu Muslim. Listen, this is a Gora mentality. I don't want to sound racist, but now I'm going to be the bully in this case with them. They've been doing this for history, and we are fools. All of us people with this skin color are fools to fall for it. They robbed us blind, and while leaving, they said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to divide India and Bangladesh. We're going to split them and make them fight amongst themselves." And we're just going to enjoy the show eating our popcorn from behind while we rob them. And us as fools are doing it. Instead of saying, I mean, how I think, ke musibat ki jad ye gore log hain. Inki mentality hai. And
exactly.
And we're just falling for the ploy. That's been the trap has been laid. It's the same thing what I say to U.S. citizens. I say this to my cousins and people like that all the time. I lost a lot of my Jewish friends who are like, how dare you, bro? What are you saying? How can you say this? I'm like, it's the reality. I'm not against you. I love your parents. I love you as a person. But the reality is what that place is doing is evil. It's evil. And if you can't accept that, then maybe you aren't meant to be my friend. Maybe you can hate me. But
so I just remembered that stuff, which I forgot. It's that mainstream media's role. So after that situation of Pahalgam, you know, mainstream narrated the same story over and over again. And yep. Jobless people went to the streets, you know, trashed all the Muslim shops, attacked, even the children attacked children.
Yes.
Like it's worse, like even a 14-year-old somewhere, I don't know, in a railway station or something like that. So you see how mainstream has a big play on whatever is happening. I mean, see, politics is dividing people. I mean, if we were smart, we should make them fight so the country will become better, right?
Just imagine I even say this about Middle Eastern countries. What if the Middle East came together? What a massive power would they be? What a massive power would they be? TK, I don't know the whole Sunni Shiite thing or whatever, but if they all came together, how powerful and how rich and how prosperous would they all be? Kisi ki aukaat nahi hoti unke saath aake ladne ke liye.
But I think with the power, still US is having larger influence.
Yes.
Even if combined. In monetary values, US still has biggest influence. And that's why I think people are into boycott. And, you know, though it might give a feather touch to them, but still, eventually that has brought some shakeup.
It 100% will. They can manipulate things as much as they want. But the reality is, and I don't know if I'm a big fan of China or not or whatever, but all I know is this. I look up to China for that reason, that when they
I'm a big fan of their progress.
Oh,
I'm a big fan of their progress.
I actually want to go there because I've heard they are light years ahead of everybody else. Like we're living in the stone ages compared to what they are doing.
Bro, 2008, when I was in Shanghai and I was sleepy, but I was behind the taxi, I was looking up. The buildings were in the sky, bro. Like there was no empty space. 2008. And 2008, I've seen people, like kids, playing games on the building screens. 2008.
Wow.
Like kids, randomly with, I don't know what device, there was something playing around. And so they were playing tennis or something like that. Some were watching football on the buildings. 2008.
So imagine now.
Where are we, man? I mean, with all these fights and divisions, like we could have gone even beyond. Like, imagine the knowledge, like, what's that called? Knowledge drain? Like how our skilled people go to several other countries, but not India. Like, we are not developing here. Why? But China is opposite. How many Chinese have you seen outside? Like us, our Keralites, around 1 million plus.
Wow.
In Dubai, we have 1 million plus. And I'm sure we have, you know, in different states everywhere, like
for sure.
Concentrated for sure. On US, some concentrated on Singapore. Basically, Indians are everywhere. Why? What's happening in India? Why people are fleeing India? Like even recently, some big business people are fleeing from India. Even the politicians' kids, I don't think so they live in India. I think they are studying abroad. But their followers, jobless, they're fighting with each other, making ruckus, and they're sending their kids as well. And their kids end up in jail or end up in problems or hurt.
No, I agree with you. It's we as a society and as a people, and not only us, as I said, I mentioned the Middle East. I am very strong my opinion about that, even with India. We are everywhere we go, we are the top of the food chain. In America, Indians are the highest earning, and that too by far. On the third or fourth of that list are Pakistanis. So my thought in my mind is, look at how we are as people. Imagine if we all came together.
Yeah.
Just imagine that. But no, we want to fight
each other. They don't want us to be together. Like, that's the goal. Now we understand why.
We understand why. I don't know why our governments don't understand why. Or our governments are just bought out and, you know, kind of, they've sold their souls. So I think that's what pretty much has ended up happening. It's sad, man. It's sad, but at the same time, I think it's platforms like yours and other people that are also opening their hearts, opening their minds and kind of letting things out. I had so much inside me. I had to get it out. And I've been doing podcasts here and there with some, you know, and they're very afraid to touch the topic even. Oh, no. So this is just jo mere andar bhara hua tha, and I had to get it out.
Nikal diya.
Yeah. Pura bhi nahi nikala, but jitna nikla, I'm happy.
Because you know you have to be I think our biggest struggle and fight is also how you present it, because we cannot present it the way they present it, because they have their terminology set. It's wordplay.
The
moment we use the wrong word, go Pakistan, why are you here? I have got many DMs, I've got many messages. I'm sure you might have got threats.
The amount of people that want to cut me up and jaake ye kar le, wo kar le, aisa kar le, udhar chala ja, idhar chala ja, all of that. Yeah, they attack my wife as well, you know, because she's also, again, all about humanity. She's all about humanity and where she sees, and I've learned a lot about humanity from her. She's a very, just a solid woman, you know, always trying to help those. I mean, we've helped as many people as we could in Gaza. I wish we could do a lot more. Aur agar mere bus mein hota, main khud hi truck leke wahan pe ghus jata, unko, you know, to give them food and stuff like that. But we try to donate to as many. And
I've seen some of the Rosie and all that following you. I understood that something is happening inside.
Yeah,
I have a guess.
Yeah, because I mean, and I feel bad because a lot of people that I get up, I probably get 15 to 20 of those messages a day. And sometimes it's like I have to just kind of pick and choose who to help and who I can help and who I believe or I don't believe in between. I found out that
some of them are just there,
you're not even in Gaza. Some of them are just there and just scamming. And I got a few, some feedback from a few people that end up saying, listen, don't give here because this person doesn't even live there. But when I know it's genuine, at times I'll even ask for videos and videos of them saying specific things to me. And then I'm like, and when I look around me, I'm like, oh my God, I can't imagine that they're living in that. And it was very sweet, actually. It was very, made me a little emotional as well. My wife had mentioned to me that a few days ago, one of the people that she had helped out had messaged her and he said, I don't know if I will survive this, my sister. If I don't, he said something about when I go to Allah, we're allowed to 70 people that we can forgive or to, you know, kind of thing. And he said, you will be amongst those that I mentioned. Because you cared so much to even help me. You helped me feed my family. And she was like, I wish I could come there. And she's like, inshallah, if one day you can come, I'll be the first one to come get you from the airport. So these are just good human beings who are put in the worst of the worst of the worst situation. And I'm only so scared now that with this whole recent news about them completely taking it over and controlling it, what does that mean? Are they just going to kick them out or kill them? I don't even know. And Ruby keeps telling me that it's that time when the world and all these Middle Eastern countries will start to stand up when that happens, when they finally, it's like, well, we keep saying, where's the limit? Your beheaded babies is not the limit. Headshots, not the limit. Blowing buildings, not the limit. Where's the limit? It's like when they finally realize that, man, I'm next. And that's what I want to tell all these Middle Eastern countries. You're next. You keep thinking because you're powerful or they've not come to you. It's the mentality. It's the mentality that is, it's almost like a virus. It's a disease of evil and it's just going to spread. It's going to spread. And if you don't stand up now, no one will be there to stand up for you when it's your time. And that's what I have as an issue. And so I don't know what the outcome of this is. I don't know what the outcome of it is for me even. But I know one thing about me as Amit Tandon, I'm a hardcore Punjabi and I'll go down fighting, you know, and I believe that there is someone above us who controls everything. And if he believes in what I'm doing and believes that what I'm doing is correct, then he will protect me from the harm. And rest, I can just, you know, I can either be a sheep or I can be a lion. And I choose to be a lion.
What message do you have to the individuals? Like individuals, especially having a little bit influence over media, having some resources. Like, do they also fight as in not physically fight? No one can physically fight. Let's be honest. You know, fight as in like, with whatever you have. That's also called in Islam. Like fight with whatever you have. Use your money or use your tongue, use your platform. What kind of message do you have to these people who are silent?
I believe that they have a lot more power than they understand. Obviously, the A-list level of celebrities and all that, matlab, I'm not even a drop in the sand compared to, I don't want to mention names, but you know, whether it's the Khans or whatever you want to call it, they have a lot of power. And I do know that he's a humane human being. He's a good human being. What pressure or level of pressure is upon him that he's not able to speak on this, you know? And is he okay with that? I don't know. I can't even tell you that I would know because I don't. I'll give you the name. If even a Salman Khan, I know that he loves kids. It's something that's very evident. I've met him once or twice. So I also know that he will go out of his way to make a child feel comfortable. When he sees these images, does it not churn his soul? But yet there's silence. Now, again, I don't want to judge somebody that, oh, you're not brave and I'm brave. It's not that.
But probably it just could be also a situation that maybe they're silently helping. We don't know, right? We don't know.
Of course. But at the same time, we also don't know that their silence is not complicity. It could also be that in their case, that's what I said. I'm not quick to judge, but I'm also quick to understand that at some point you can't just sit by the fence.
I'm not talking anymore about celebrities, to be honest. I'm talking about individuals.
Individuals.
Little influence, because there are also not famous people with good resources, good platform, you know.
Do you think they can make
even any difference, like even a person with 100 followers, let's say, or something?
100%. It's like every drop
makes sea.
Every little makes the ocean. I don't know. They're the same. Yeah, I forget the ocean. Hindi mein kuch to hai. That tells you that my Hindi is not so strong when it comes to those muhavare, whatever. But every drop will matter. Every drop will matter. And every opinion, every positive thought will reverberate in the world, and you will make those 100 people see a certain point of view, and it'll multiply. But at the same time, you have to understand the good. You have to be able to reason good from evil and right from wrong. If you're not able to do that, then I don't know what to tell you anyway. So if you blanket, the problem I feel like in this country also is there's a very blanket mentality that, oh, Islam, terror, 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 terrorist, terrorist. Because unhone hame pada pada ke, pada pada ke. I was the same way. I'm not going to lie to you. When I was in the United States, the same. I told you, what did I do when I was signing on the army? I wanted to get on and kill him.
I got Let's it. Yeah, but when you go. Mentioned, I understood completely. That was the case, yeah.
So, because you're programmed that way. We are here programmed. When, as Hindus, when we're young, they say, you cannot marry Muslim. Hindu, Muslim. You can marry anybody, marry a African-American even, I'll accept that you cannot marry Muslim. And I'm like, whoa, there must be something. Yeah, they're backstabbers, they're this and the, da. Now, their life experience and the way they're taught over and over again has put this disease and this kira in their mind, which is so difficult to remove.
And people believe what they see, right? I mean, it's the subconscious thing. When you hear from right, left and center, that's what you tend to believe, right?
The only one good thing about Trump is when he says fake media. He's right. The media is fake. They're fake. They will build a narrative and make you believe it. But it is on you. If you don't know the truth, you can't go to Allah or Bhagwan or Hanuman or whoever it is, Jesus Christ or whoever, and say, oh, I'm so sorry. I just believed what I was reading. No. It is God has given you a brain, the ability to understand and to perceive and to understand, to learn. And if you don't do that, you cannot feign ignorance. You know, if you don't want to believe the images, I mean, here it's very simple. You don't want to believe the images in front of your eyes, and you want to tell me that those 20,000 children were all wrong and they were all throwing rocks or guns or whatever. I mean, wake up, just wake up from the sleep that you're in, because and they always say, right, when they were attacking him, nobody said anything. When they were attacking the other person, nobody said anything. And then all of a sudden, when they came attacking me, there was nobody left.
It's very interesting what you mentioned. In Quran, it is mentioned after Ayatul Kursi. Anyone can look it up. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيْبِ means clear way is very distinct from the evil way or bad way. And only clean heart. I mean, that's not the translation. Now, what I'm saying is basically the context. Clean heart can always distinguish something bad from the good. Like, clearly.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't expect a small child, even small children, somewhere at a certain point, but like only infants, you know, toddlers will not know right from wrong. They don't know, oh, if I touch this stove, I'll burn. They're understanding. So that excuse, I would say, yeah, that can apply to children, that you tell them one thing and they kind of believe it. You're an adult. You've seen the world. You've seen life. I mean, the problem is they've been so indoctrinated with hate. And I'm saying this as a majority of people have this in the mind. And there are good souls in Islam, in Hindu, there are many good souls. Are a lot of people who have compassion. But we also are dealing with a lot of people who they just hate. They don't care. No matter what they see, no matter what happens, it's like they just believe what they believe, and they are blind to reality. And how do you get through to those people? You know, how do you? I don't know. I wish I had the answer. If there was a formula that you say, Amit, you try this, and this will immediately work. Unko aisa kuch pila do, they'll be okay. But there's nothing. There's nothing.
I'll always say this. Good people are silent. They don't talk. They don't speak up. So what you hear eventually is people who spread false or hate. That sounds more like, even if you see the media, newspapers and news channels will not be sold if you didn't start with the bad news, right?
Yeah.
So people, I think good people should be creative, voice out, because you being silent. I mean, I'm sorry to bring it again and again. I think the whole maqsad, the intention is also for people to be aware, and also for good people not to just watch and cry or be silent and, you know, be vocal about it.
Yeah, you can. And I do this, and I know it's not enough. It's not enough to just say hashtag free Palestine. I do it, and I know it's not enough. So I'm also guilty of the same, but you have to start somewhere. And people say, and they say this to me, oh, Palestine, how about Pehelgam? How about this? How about something that happened over there? I'm like, I speak about that. Now, the difference that you're not understanding, you're looking at it from a prism of Hindu, Muslim. When you're dealing with a guy, I mean, I have Hanumanji, I have Om, listen, you can pick it. I probably got it on my body. But you're looking at it from the prism of religion. I'm looking at it from a prism of that event was one day. I spoke about it. I'm seeing something continuously over months and a year. I mean, it'll be 2 years we're going to be going on soon. And thousands upon thousands. So you cannot compare the levels of it, you know? And that's what people don't understand. No. You only speak about that. You don't care about this. Why don't you speak about this? I'm like, it's very difficult to get through to people like that. It's very difficult to make them understand.
What's the benefit of some Indians supporting Israel? Because, you know, you have seen in many places where the protest against Muslim comes, they don't just raise Indian flag, also Israel flag. Like, is it also they're becoming blind, like US? Like, are we also like in force? Like, we need to support Israel in India. I'm not associating with them anyway. But like, why Indians, when they protest against Muslims, they use Israeli flag?
I don't understand this at all, because first of all, in their Torah, which is their religious book, I believe, anybody who is an idol worshiper is the first to be killed right away. But the Hindu, he's idol worshiper. Oh. Get him first.
Oh no!
This is in their book. It's in their book. And I'll tell you the reality, that why I believe it's happening, or at least that's my perceived reality. It's because of the religion angle. It's because it's anti-Muslim. If Israel were killing whites or something else, whatever, you know, complete Christians, the world would look at this from a very different prism. First of all, it wouldn't even go on this long. No chance. They would have stopped it long back. But it's from the prism of, oh, they're Muslim. Oh, they must have done something bad. Oh, Hamas. What is Hamas? Amit Tandon would have been almost Hamas had I gone to fight in that war. Because what is Hamas? I'm assuming, what is a Hamas? Why are there so many new Hamas joinings since October 7th? Because agar aap mere parivar ko maroge meri aankhon ke samne, if you're going to kill the people I love in front of me and occupy me and treat me like trash, give me no rights, no future, no hope. My only thought is, and I always give examples to this to my friends. I'm like, I'm going to ask you a question. Let's say I break into your home. Okay. I kill your family. I lock you up in one room and I put you in the smallest room in your house. I put you in there and you say, you stay here. You don't come in or out without my permission. I will decide how much you're going to eat. I will get your plate and you'll be giving it to you. You keep quiet. I treat you like hell, scare you, all those things. And all of a sudden, one day I forgot to lock that door. And you come out and you attack me.
Yeah.
You come out and you attack me. And all of a sudden, the world should say, oh, you attack. Look, what did you? You came and attacked me. You're forgetting all of the actions that you've done to provoke that. That's what I look at Hamas as. Hamas is wo insan jiske, I'm sure, I'm sure every Hamas member
has gone through their, losing families lost. I'm pretty much sure that sure of that.
100%. I would almost guarantee that. I would almost guarantee that they've lost somebody. They've had no hope. They've been left to literally die. And when you have nothing left to turn to, you end up turning to, okay, if I have to go, I really hate these people that they've done this to my life. I want to take them out and do whatever I can to take revenge on them.
It is something which you said your girlfriend, you lost in the 9/11 and that you wanted to join army. It is something of that kind of mentality you're saying.
It's the same thing. That's why I tell people at that time, I lost somebody and I was like, I want to go kill the Taliban or whatever it was that I felt, you know, Al-Qaeda, jo bhi uska, alag alag jo unke naam dete hain. It's like the Marvel superheroes now they give. And again, I'm not taking the side of the extremists, the ones who go cutting heads and doing all this crazy stuff and all that, to hell with them. You know, I would equally fight them as I would anybody else. But I'm not going to single them out and curse out and put down a whole religion when I know it's filled with a lot of good people, mm-hmm. You know. And at the same time, I'm not going to take the side of those Hindus who I say, Jai Shri Ram bol, ye bol, wo bol. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolute, and it's frankly wrong. It's illegal. It's immoral. And
it's not even prescribed in religion. And I'm sure. And you know, see, I cannot tell you, Amit, say Allah Akbar. You know, it doesn't even sound right. That's like, you know, there is a concept of inviting other people to Islam. Like that's not with force. What is invitation? If I invite you at home, come to my home. Otherwise, I will show you. I mean, is that an invitation? That's not an invitation.
That's not an invitation. Eat this food. Eat this food, no matter what it is. It's like, it's literally, that's a mentality.
It doesn't make sense. So it is not taught in religion. That's what people need to understand. Or they understand it, or they're just playing their game, basically.
I'll tell you, the reality is, whether it's Islam or Hinduism, all of the religions at their core, and what I mean their core, let's remove the idols, remove all this, the basic joik foundational belief, har religion mein, it's the same. Do good unto others. Don't be violent. Don't cheat. Don't steal. You know, treat others with respect. It's exactly. That basic foundation
exactly.
That we're all, then we've all branched out in many different directions of this, that, or whatever it is, you know. See, I believe that as humans, we are meant to be fallible and to do wrong and to make mistakes. But as human beings, we're supposed to learn from our mistakes. And the problem is, these are uneducated. I don't even put them in a main ko ginti mein bhi nahi manta hoon, because I call this riffraff. The same extremists who do that stuff are, to me, at the same level of these who go and break up the mosques or go and kill a person and or you're holding meat or this, all the stupid mentality. And this is not the majority. It comes across like it's a majority.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, the good people doesn't talk, like, but the bad people, when they do this thing, that covers up the majority, like you said.
Yeah, I remember I went to see a building in Juhu somewhere. And I remember in the society, they said they have two strict things, no Muslims and no meat.
I heard this somewhere. Saif Ali Khan said this on an interview. Like, I wish this doesn't happen. Yeah, but in Juhu, when I went, I couldn't get a home because of this.
I'm telling you, the moment my wife heard that, and I, being a Hindu, I didn't care. And they saw, obviously, tattoos and the Hanumanji and all this. But then I was like, listen, brother, I need my protein. So my meat, I mean, what are you talking about? I was like, this is anyway out. But agar wo meat ka nahi bhi hota, the moment he said no Muslims, I knew that I can never, not because my wife is a revert, but because this kind of mentality, I don't care. Even as a Hindu, I would come after you because it's hateful. And if it's hateful, that hate is not only specific to a religion. It's hate is, it's a, like I said, it's that'll come against a Hindu, an atheist. It could be anything. It's hate is hate. It has no color. It just complete. It's black and it's evil. And that is why I believe that if we're going to overcome all of the things that are happening, we have to overcome that evil with our color of humanity. Otherwise, everything's going to turn black and we're all going to die, because we're all going to die anyway. All of the mighty, powerful that we believe we are, we're all going to go. And there's going to be nothing left of our riches and all of that. But if we don't leave this world in a better place for our children, grandchildren, whatever the future to come, I see no future.
And if you keep it violent, it could be violent for your offsprings as well.
100%, 100%. I mean, luckily, my child is raised with love, to love everybody and to be a good judge of character. And that is how I want her to be. I will never accept anybody telling me that you have to think this way or you have to do this or that. And yes, I was raised like that. And I'm not going to fault my parents for it because they came from a time that 1947, the independence, this, that. Matlab, ek seekh unko mili hai. And so kind of the, you kind of go in that fashion, you end up going in that direction. But I choose not to. And I want to think that I'm more evolved as a human being than they are to be able to understand the right from wrong. I'm going to judge a person on how he treats me and how he is as a person. I'm not going to judge him because he does namaz five times or he says Jai Shri Ram or he says Vaheguru or, you know, Jesus Christ or whatever is, whatever the things I'm missing. I'm not going to, I don't care about that.
Exactly. Even me, like when we were in school, like I have studied in India, I have studied in Gulf. We never ask what's your religion so that we can be friends. We don't take application forms with each other. Like we gel, we, if the vibe is right, there is no religion, you know.
100%.
Why are we talking? Why? I mean, that's the power, right? The unity, yes, like yes. Unity and diversity is the power. And we keep saying this in school. What happened after leaving the school? I don't know what happened. Like something went wrong. We had just had lip service. On the actions, it went blank.
You don't practice what you preach, or you don't even actually utilize what is taught to you in the proper way. Because the thing is, you're learning something in school that love everyone and da-da-da-da, and you go home and all of a sudden these people are bad. There, you cannot trust them. Oh, these people are like this. All those people are like this. So you think, okay, I guess they are like this, right? And then you hear the news, and it's like, so it's warfare of the mind from so many different angles, and it makes you just, it really puts you in a bad situation. So, for me, it's just something I'm going to stay away from, and I'm gonna live my life the way I choose to, and I'm gonna judge people on the merits that I believe to be correct. And I'll keep fighting the fight, brother. That's all I can do. That's the best that I can do. And I'm hopeful that others that are of good heart and mind can, you know, begin to stand up against this. Because aaj nahi to kal,
it is going to come.
Jo bura karta hai, usko uska anjaam idhar hi milega.
Definitely. Idhar bhi aur inshallah akhirat mein bhi.
Oh, inshallah, at that time, I hope it's doubled and tripled.
Oh, yeah.
And especially for the few that I have in mind, I hope they get it the worst. And for those idea people who message me, if you're seeing this and if you're whenever, wherever, I don't care. I'm always ready. I'm getting older, but I'm still, I still have a few miles left in this tank. So I can, you know, oblige you with pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Amit, to join and to be really open, being unfiltered. Those who are watching this, please subscribe to our channel so we can bring amazing guests. And if you need part two with Amit Tandon, looks like we can go for hours and hours if I didn't stop him.
We gotta make it a little lighter. We gotta make it some nice musical stuff, and we'll do that next time. God willing.
Oh yeah. So, thank you so much. Thanks for the message. The final message is nothing but, you know, spread what you see is wrong. And unite with diversity, because that's the power. And we Indians, we need to really work on these grounds.
100%.
Thank you so much.
100%. Thank you, brother. And God bless you. Be safe and keep in touch.